In the morning, the shepherd opens the gate to the pen. He goes inside and he talks to his sheep, and they love to listen to his words. They listen to the shepherd. He calls them by name sometimes, and he looks after them while they're out in the field doing what sheep do. And then in the evening, he leads the sheep back into the safety of their pen. In the story, there's a gatekeeper who opens up the gate for the sheep, and the sheep can go inside and rest and settle down safely for the night. But one day, along came a thief, and the thief wanted to steal one of the sheep, so he tried to see how he could get in. He couldn't get through the gate because the gatekeeper said, "No way. I know what you want to do. You want to steal my sheep." So the thief tried to break down the gate, but the gate was too strong for a thief. So next, the thief tried to climb over the side, to sneak around and climb over the fence. But the gatekeeper knew what was happening. This man really is a thief. And the gatekeeper chased him away. So after Jesus told that story, he said to the people, read the words of Jesus. So I'm going to read from John 10, verse 9 to 10, just once. "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures." So what did Jesus mean? That's so strange. Jesus said that he is the gate. Well, what does that mean, I wonder? It means that the only way to get into the house, the safe place, was through Jesus. Jesus is stronger than any thief, anything in this world. So we are perfectly safe when we are in Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. So I'm going to look at John 14, just verse 2. I can find where I put it. Ah, here we are. Right. "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you?" He says that there are many rooms in that house, and we are all invited. And one day Jesus will come back, and it'll be a big celebration. And everyone who puts their faith in Jesus will be going into that house. It might be a sad day for those who don't care about Jesus, because they won't be able to get into that house. Imagine a house without a door. We would have no way to get inside. When Jesus said that he is the door, it was a way of saying that we can go through him, through his door, through him into the kingdom of God, where Jesus will keep us safe. And through him, we can have that eternal life. To go into the house, remember, we have to go through Jesus. And remember that we are all God's children when we put our faith in him. He loves us. And he wants the best for us. And that's why he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, so that we can come into his house. There's a verse from a letter that John wrote when he was very, very old. And even though he was an old man, he loved being one of God's children. And he said, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." And Lily is going to read a little prayer now. And there you go. Wait a minute.
Thank Jesus that he is the door to the Father's house. Thank him that nothing bad or evil can stand against him, but that he is strong enough to protect his children from any evil. Pray that the children would turn to him for safety whenever they are afraid. Amen.
Thank you.
We have Humphrey preaching today, so I'd just like to, if you want to stretch out your hands, and we just want to just pray for Humphrey. Do you want to come forward, Humphrey, a little bit, so we can see you? Humphrey, Lord, thank you for this man and his wisdom. Thank you for his love and his care and what he does for our church. And he's such a good friend. I want to just say, Lord, to bless him with the right words of wisdom. And as he leads us today, take away any nervousness. And just thank you for Humphrey Temple and Rosemary, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful couple. Amen.
Thanks, bro. You know you've got Megan to blame for this, don't you? A few weeks ago in the living room, it was a time when some people were being trained on the coffee machine. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to be... You baby! Don't be a baby, get trained on the coffee machine. So I chose the easy option and thought I'd speak this morning instead. Right. Now then, I hope this works. What do you see? What else do you see? I'm going to leave that there for the moment. Oh, a seed. Yeah, it's a very good answer, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Thank you, Denise. What you said leads perfectly into what I've got to say. Twice in the last week, I've woken up, or been woken up, and been thinking stroke praying about what I'm going to say, what Jesus wants me to say. Each time, this is what came to me, which is why this message is entitled, Have You Got It? Barry's got it. Where is he? Ooh. Barry's got it. Phil's got it. Rosemary's got it. Lots here have got it. The Apostle Paul got it. Jesus' disciples got it, eventually. Our late queen got it. The woman that Jesus met at the well, she got it. What is it? Any ideas? And it's basically what this chapter 10 is about. Although it's very much shepherd and sheep. Actually, Jesus was talking to other people. He was talking to the Pharisees. The blind man got it in chapter 9. The Pharisees didn't get it. Any idea what the answer is? They all got who Jesus was, except the Pharisees. And that's what Jesus is challenging the Pharisees with in this chapter. Have you got it? Have you got ears to hear what I'm saying? Have you got eyes to see who I am? So I was going to read that scripture again, but I will do so, I think. Starting in chapter 9, because the story about the blind man at the end of chapter 9 comes into what I'm going to say. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out because Jesus had cured him of blindness. And the Pharisees were doing everything they could to discredit what had happened to him and calling him a sinner and so on. And they threw him out of the synagogue. And Jesus heard they'd thrown him out. And when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment have I come into this world, so the blind will see and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now you claim you see, your guilt remains. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of him, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus said again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my shepherd know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why do we listen to him?" But others said, "How can these be the sayings of a man possessed by a demon? Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So this is all an account of those who didn't get it. But on the way, Jesus makes very clear what he is offering to those who are prepared to hear what he's saying. What he says, those who've got ears to hear. Have you got ears to hear? Look at Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees in chapter 9, after they had thrown out the man who Jesus cured of blindness. You almost have to feel sorry for the Pharisees, no doubt shifting from one foot to another, knowing Jesus was referring to them, but not wanting to acknowledge it. They knew they were supposed to be the shepherds of the Jewish people. And yet, they had shown themselves to have no love for the sheep. Just look at the way they treated the blind man. They had, in effect, killed him off and thrown him to the wolves that Jesus brings into his talk in chapter 10. So Jesus uses the experience of the blind man to expose the situation of the Pharisees, those who through their self-righteousness insist they can see, which actually makes them blind to their condition. So different to the blind man who, because he acknowledges his condition, heard and believed Jesus, becoming one of his sheep. The dot on the flip chart is a picture of the Pharisees. I never was much good at drawing. They were so wrapped up in their self-importance, they could not hear or receive the big picture, which, as Rosemary says, is the sheet around the dot, which Jesus was introducing through his life and words. Reminds me of the saying, people wrapped up in themselves make a very small parcel. In chapter 10, Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees and using sheep and shepherds to create picture stories and make it easy for them to get the point. Listen, you lot, he says, I'm telling you the truth. There are bad shepherds and one good shepherd, me. I'm the one you read about. Come to me and get life, eternal life, abundant life. Earlier in John chapter 5, Jesus had said to the Pharisees, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. That is by obeying all the rules. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to have life. The Pharisees would have learnt by heart from childhood what Isaiah had said over 500 years before, pointing ahead to Jesus. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But there's none as blind as those that cannot see. They did not see because they didn't want to see. In Matthew 23, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Speaking again to the Pharisees, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven to people's face in people's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. All they are interested in is what they can get out of their position, putting heavy burdens on other people on the way. No wonder they were confused and end up arguing between themselves about who Jesus was. And it's no different today. If you ask people who they think Jesus was, you get a myriad of different answers. But as C.S. Lewis has put it so succinctly, there's only one right answer. He says in his great little book, Mere Christianity, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. Like, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "What about you? What do you say I am?" This is the most important, who do you say that I am? This is the most important question you have to answer for yourself in life today. What do we think about Jesus? Who do I say that he is? Have I got ears to hear? Am I prepared to listen and believe what he has to say about who he is? These are just a few statements about Jesus from God's word. The Apostle John says of Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to Father except through me. And God so loved the world that he gave me, his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I have come that my sheep may have life and have it to the full. And again, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Isaiah says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Apostle Paul says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, C.S. Lewis, you'll know him as the writer of the Narnia stories, says, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Your will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'In the end, your will be done.' All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, to those who knock, it is open." How do I become a follower of Jesus, one of his sheep? Just as the man Jesus had given sight to did in John that we've read there. Believe and receive. Do you acknowledge you're a lost sheep and need a Jesus to save you? Is Jesus calling you? Surrender your life in worship to him, acknowledging, "You are my God and my Lord." Lay down your life at his feet as he laid down his life for you, and receive him and his life in exchange. In the Old Testament, God constantly tells his people, "I set before you life and death. Choose life." He is still saying that today. I expect you've heard of the book and film by Charlie Mackesy entitled The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. You heard of that? You seen the film? Great. No. The Boy, the Mole and the Fox and the Horse. The boy and the mole develop a friendship together and go on a journey looking for home. On the way, they come across Fox, a very wary, angry creature who has been hurt by life and is not given to saying very much. The boy and the mole discover the fox, trapped in a horrid wire snare, snarling and distressed. The mole approaches very cautiously. "If I wasn't caught in this snare, I'd kill you," said the fox. "If you stay in that snare, you will die," said the mole. So the fox chose life and let mole chew through the wire and set fox free inside and out. We're all snared in sin, There is only one. Excuse me. There is only one who can undertake the job of setting us free. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest." Have you got ears to hear? As Phil comes to play quietly now for us for a few minutes, we'll have the opportunity to respond to what Jesus may have been saying to us. Whether it's, "Will you cut through all that's hurting me and bring me freedom and protection as you come into my flock and follow me?" Or maybe Jesus is encouraging some of us older sheep to surrender him to him, things which may be hindering us in following the Good Shepherd. Or maybe we're being attracted away from following Jesus, and it's time for recommitment. It's time to listen to the Good Shepherd.